We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to stick with basketball, but move over to the Utah Jazz for this particular segment. And again, on the eve of the trade deadline, a lot of rumors circulating around the Utah Jazz, who have played much, much better as of late. Now, joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about the Jazz, we have Dan Clayton. He joined us fairly regularly last season. He's a columnist and associate editor at Salt City Hoops. First off, Dan, a pleasure once again to get you on and talk Utah Jazz basketball with you. Thank you.
Of course. Nice to be here.
Let's dive right into it. Trade deadline tomorrow. The Jazz have been in numerous rumors as far as, you know, players that could be on the move. If it's Rodney Hood or if it's Alec Burks or if it's Derek Favors. I've seen rumors with Ricky Rubio even. I don't think the Jazz are going to make any massive moves, but you and I were talking a bit off of the cuff, and you're on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. You think that in the next 24 hours, the Jazz are going to be extremely busy.
Yeah, I think that there are three or four players that, for different reasons, it just makes sense for the Jazz to see what they could get for those players in the next, you know, 24, I guess a little less than 24 hours now. You know, particularly Joe Johnson, Rodney Hood, Alec Burks, and Derek Favors, although I've kind of moved him to his own little subcategory, which is interesting. But, you know, those are just guys who, for different reasons, it's not entirely clear right now that they're part of the Jazz's long-term plans. And if they're not part of those long-term plans, then yeah, I think you have to see if there's something else that makes more sense or that parlays some of their value into something that will help further down the road when Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert-led Jazz are ready to start contending again.
Okay, let's start with Rodney Hood here for a moment, because I could go either way. I'm a big Rodney Hood guy. I have been for quite some time. But looking at it, and maybe this is why I'm kind of stuck on Rodney Hood, you want to make sure that you're not moving potential all-star wings. And I don't know if we're letting that potential go right now with Rodney Hood and we're saying, okay, look, he's not an all-star caliber guard, but at the same time, I'm always very wary on giving up on wing players, on guard players. So Rodney Hood falls into that category, but the fact remains, if you're not willing to pay this guy in the offseason, you probably should explore getting something for him now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting place to start, because he actually told Yahoo Sports today that he expects to be traded, or at least he told Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports that he wouldn't be surprised if he were traded. So, you know, that's interesting. I think you're right about Rodney, and particularly about giving up really good wing players. And, you know, the NBA is kind of short on that scoring wing prototype right now. That's a valuable piece to hold, and because of that, I don't think the Jazz can afford to just give him away. At the same time, Donovan Mitchell's rise as kind of the new number one scorer of the Jazz now and going forward reframes Rodney Hood's role a little bit. And so I think that they've just started to think about, okay, with Donovan Mitchell scoring the way he's been scoring and with him becoming kind of the central two-guard of the future plans, how does that make Rodney Hood fit into the construct of a future ostensibly contending Jazz? Like, as they build a team that can compete for, you know, deep playoff runs and maybe at some point championships, how does Rodney Hood fit into that? And I think that that answer has changed since Donovan Mitchell, you know, became as prominent as he has. So I think that's the reason why they're discussing Rodney. He's also probably one of their best assets, because he's a 17-point-per-game scorer that shoots almost 40% from three, and whatever team acquires his rights is also going to have the ability to match any offer he receives as a restricted free agent this summer. So for all those reasons, he's a valuable guy. He's someone who could, you know, potentially be the outgoing asset if the Jazz are going to make, you know, a major move that adds an impact player, or at least a player with potential to be an impact player.
Well, speaking of impact players, another guy that just can't, he's never been able to escape the trade rumors, and it's Derek Favors. And now that he's in the last year of an expansion, I almost feel bad for the guy, because, I mean, again, he just can't seem to escape the trade rumors. And now he's in the last year of that contract, and you know what, he's one of the most valuable trade chips, I think, going into the trade deadline. I think it's a name that you definitely have to watch. And as far as the Jazz improved play, and again, you and I talked about this off the cuff, a lot of credit has to go to Derek Favors on the way this team is played over the past 6-7 games.
Well, exactly. I think so. The Jazz have won 6 in a row. They've won 8 of their last 10. One of the key protagonists behind that turnaround has been Favors. And so, you know, one question I get from fans a lot these days is, whether the Jazz's recent improved play is going to change the way they approach the trade deadline. And largely, I think no, because the players that they have been, I think, aggressive about shopping around have not been as central to this turnaround. But Favors is the exception. Favors has been playing really, really well. He's been playing well next to Rudy Gobert, which was a big question and something that wasn't the case earlier in the season. But all of a sudden, teams just can't score or stop the Jazz when Rudy and Derek are on the floor together. And so I think that gives the Jazz a little bit of pause on trading Derek. Now, he's also not going to bring a great asset back in a trade, just because, unlike Rodney, who I just mentioned is heading into restricted free agency, Derek is heading into unrestricted free agency. So a team that acquires him is going to be acquiring his services for the next 2 months, and then they don't know beyond that if they're going to be able to keep him. So, he's a rental because of that. I don't think the asset return is going to be quite as great. But on the other hand, it would kind of sting the Jazz if they gambled on Favors being able to stick around and be a part of the future, and then he leaves with them getting no return back this summer as a free agent. So he's a tough one. He's a tough one to solve for. But I will say this. He's been really important to their recent stretch, and he also seems to be having a really good time with this current Jazz group. And it's the first time in a long time I've watched him play and interact with dudes, and it just looks like he's having fun again, and that's great.
Sure, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But when we talk about Derek Favors, and I hate to go back this far, but especially when you're on a smaller market team that doesn't necessarily have the greatest reputation with luring in, the Jazz at one particular time lost Paul Millsap and lost Al Jefferson, two All-Stars at that particular time, for absolutely nothing. And maybe I'm bringing up the comparison because, again, we're talking about a big. If you lose three bigs in the course of, I don't know, what, 6, 7, 8 years, and you get nothing in return, that has a long-term impact on the franchise.
Sure, it does. I mean, I will say this. I think the losing a player for nothing, quote-unquote nothing argument, I get why it looks that way and why it feels that way. And, I was a big believer in Paul Millsap, and I had covered Paul Millsap's entire career in Utah. I knew Paul well, and that was a tough one to watch him leave and see the Jazz get nothing back in direct return for that. But here's the thing. The cap space that opened up when Paul Millsap and Al Jefferson left allowed the Jazz to go out and make a trade where they got some assets back from Golden State, and one of those assets became Rodney Hood.
Sure.
That trade also opened up minutes for Derek Favors to improve into a 16-8 guy. That decision to let those guys walk also resulted in the rebuilding process that yielded Dante Exum and later on Donovan Mitchell. So, I mean, the Jazz will, even if Derek Favors walks in free agency, they'll figure out a way to parlay that situation into something that makes sense for their future. But I get what you're saying. I mean, it's tough to have a guy who spends 7 years on your team getting better and, improving, especially, let's remember, the Jazz traded a superstar to get Derek Favors. Favors was part of the return when the Jazz finally cut bait on Deron Williams. So to trade your superstar for a guy, develop him for 7 years, and then, you bear through all the injury troubles, and just as he's getting healthy again and just as he's starting to contribute at a high level again, he walks away. I think that would be psychologically tough. It just depends on what the Jazz do with the resulting assets and the resulting cap situation if he does walk away.
Again, right now we're being joined by Dan Clayton, columnist and associate editor at Salt City Hoops. You did mention Joe Johnson. I've also heard rumblings of a potential buyout on the Joe Johnson front. So if he has not moved by the trade deadline, what are the odds this guy finishes the season in a Jazz uniform?
Yeah, I think Joe is the reason why I feel pretty confident saying that the Jazz roster will definitely not look the same a few days from now, because I think the Jazz are pretty determined to let Joe go find a playoff team that he can help. And I don't think that that'll happen via trade, because most playoff teams are not in a position where they could take on Joe Johnson's $10.5 million salary. But if they're not able to find a trade taker for Joe, I do think that they will let him out of that contract in exchange for a little bit of a discount. And I do think he'll be playing somewhere else by a week or two from now.
Alec Burks, kind of the same situation. I mean, obviously not a buyout, but I mean, this is another name that I would assume the Jazz would like to get out from underneath this contract. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're absolutely right, Jordan. That's the main reason why I think Alec Burks keeps coming up in the discussion, because frankly, he just makes too much for what his role is on the Jazz. This year he makes $10.8 million. Next year he'll make $11.5 million. That's a little tough when we're talking about a guy who has fallen to 11th man. You know what I mean? Royce O'Neal, the undrafted rookie, has risen up and taken Alec Burks' role from him as a backup wing, and all of a sudden Alec Burks is a guy who only plays when another wing is hurt. And I just don't think you can be paying your 11th man eight-figure salaries in today's NBA and be competitive, and that's really going to limit what the Jazz are able to do this summer if they still have those, you know, that $11 million salary hanging on their sheet. So with him, I do think that there is a notion of, trying to move that salary. But again, right now in the NBA, there is a dearth of scoring wings. So there will be teams that will take interest in Alec Burks. I don't know that the Jazz will get a great amount of value back because the salary is tough. But there are reportedly teams that are calling about Alec Burks, and they'd have to make salaries match, so they would have to send something back Utah's way. I mean, I'll give you an example just because I was playing with the numbers earlier. Oklahoma City has reportedly asked about Alec Burks, and without getting too into the math, because they're a team that's paying the luxury tax, the salaries have to match almost exactly on any trade involving the Thunder. And so it's hard to imagine them putting together a trade package for Alec Burks that works financially without including at least one and maybe both of Alex Abrines and Patrick Patterson. And those are two guys that are kind of having down years, but they're good players. So, I mean, like, that's what you could get in exchange for Alec Burks, is maybe a reclamation project, maybe a player who is not having the best of years this year, but who the Jazz believe in a more structured system could have a little bit of a renaissance.
All right, Dan, we're going to end with this. And I saw you mention this on Twitter earlier today. And so for me, as soon as I saw this news earlier today, I thought the exact same thing. Blown away by the fact that the Clippers are going to extend Lou Williams, based on the fact with all the rumors circulating, especially around the Clippers after they deal Blake Griffin, Lou Williams signing a contract extension with the Clippers obviously directly impacts the Utah Jazz and the trade market value on someone like Rodney Hood, right?
Yeah, and signed for like a really below market rate.
I mean,
his extension is going to pay him $8 million a year, and I know that sounds like a lot to you and me, but in NBA terms, especially in today's NBA economy, that's role player money. And Lou Williams is their leading scorer. So the joke I made is he must really like palm trees. He must have really not wanted to leave Southern California. What that does for the Jazz and for the trade market is it takes a guy out of the trade market. Lou Williams can't be traded now because of that extension. Can't be traded for 6 months. So now there's one less, scoring wing out on the market, but there's still the same number of teams that are looking for scoring wings. So I think that makes it a little bit more likely that eventually someone will pony up the right asking price for a Hood or a Burks type. But yeah, it was a surprising extension.
Dan, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, so I write and edit for saltcityhoops.com. That's mostly where my work appears these days. But you can also give me a follow on Twitter. I'm Dan Clayton with a zero for the O, so Dan Clayton, zero N, where I tweet everything I write at the various sites I write for. So, thanks for having me. Fun to talk about this stuff, and obviously it'll be a wild 24 hours for the Jazz one way or another.
Right. Definitely looking forward to it. Always look forward to the conversation. Dan, you're one of the best Utah Jazz minds that we know. So again, thank you for the time, and hopefully we talk again soon.
All right, great. Thanks, Jordan.
Again, Dan Clayton of Salt City Hoops taking out the time to break down the Utah Jazz trade deadline rumors and the possible moves. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.